Welcome to the One Small Change. And as always, I'm thrilled to be with you on your journey of exploration. I can't talk, no coffee. Exploration and transformation with you. So, one of the things you know, besides the fact that I'm your host, Yvonne McCoy, is that this is live. And so there may be bloopers, but I bring almost 30 years of entrepreneurial experience and a passion for discovering growth through the process of seemingly small change. And I want to thank you again for joining me. I hope that this is going to help you on your entrepreneurial journey. And this week we are talking with another amazing guest, Jill Burke. Jill,
You, Yvonne.
thank you for taking the time to be here. So tell my audience what it is you do and why you do it.
Oh, what do I do? I connect people. So I've been an entrepreneur for a very long time. And this year was a switch up year for me because I watched myself and other people struggle so hard trying to connect to their clients and their audience in an authentic and deep way, even when they didn't see them all the time. I ran a mobile massage practice, so my therapist saw my clients, but I didn't necessarily see them. And I just found that that connection, that talking to people, having clients be interested and loyal to the business over and above their interest and loyalty to their actual therapist was really a struggle. And so about a year ago, I switched up my life. And now I work with a company that helps people create magazines. But that's not all I do. I have a couple of podcasts. I talk to people like you. I just connect with everybody I can connect with because that is so hard to do as a business owner. You get so overwhelmed with the day-to-day that you lose the connection with the people that you really need in order to thrive.
So the thing that I think that I want to point out from what you said is I think it is one of the biggest mistakes entrepreneurs make, and that is, I'm going to do this. I know how to do this on my own. And that was a big mistake that I made. If I had gone into community and connection when I first started, I can't believe what a difference it would have made in my journey. Because first of all, you don't have to make the same mistakes as somebody else made. And you don't have to feel lonely when
And
you
you
have to
don't have
scrape
to feel
yourself
lonely.
when you scrape yourself off the ground,
Or when you've accomplished something amazing.
or when your family says, "I don't want to hear this anymore." So when you decided to make this change, what are some of the things you? So here's the other thing I think is that we think as entrepreneurs, a lot about the sale and not about the continuing relationship, right? And I think people need to be they have an expectation that this is what they're going to get. But what keeps them there, I think, is the delight, the extra thing that shows up, the message, the text, the postcard, the something that says, "You're more to me than what, your weekly visit or whatever."
And in this time that we're in, I think people are particularly isolated and lonely. It's very easy to get stuck on your phone or on Facebook or whatever and miss some of the more genuine connections that come from a conversation that doesn't necessarily have to be face to face, but is a conversation where two people are looking at each other and having a conversation via Zoom or in the living room over a drink. And as business owners, talking to our clients, sometimes we miss that because so much of those interactions are transactional, and we forget that the most important thing we can give any of our clients, any of our staff, any of our colleagues is making them feel important. Making them feel beautiful and interesting and fantastic. And when you can do that, when you can make somebody feel really fantastic, when you can hardly wait to talk to me, when I call you up and I say, "Yvonne, I'm in Philadelphia. Let's go for a drink." And you go, "Oh, that's so grand." That's like when we can do that and figuring out an authentic way to do that as a business owner is tricky and time and can be time consuming because you do get kind of bogged into conversations sometimes that you may not have time for. But if you can do that a little bit every day, what a gift you're giving, not just to yourself and the people that are part of your business, however that might be, but just to the world in general. When you make people feel important, that's empowering.
And I think, that fits into, what I do about attracting clients using your unique power, because the way you connect may be totally different than the way that I connect, right? And so, probably the most important question that I had a coach ask me once is, she said, she was like, let's get you on social media. And I was like, and at the time I was like, I don't want to show my plate. I'm not going to dance. to do these things. She said, okay, well, tell me, what is something that you've done in your business that you've done, consistently over a long period of time? And I said, I had a blog talk radio show for 3 years. And she said, so you like to speak? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, then that's what we're going to do. Because that's what you like to do. That's you, right? So if you are trying to help people find ways to be authentic, what are some of the things that you ask them, or, ways that they can do that?
I like to start with really inappropriate questions. Like the most, like, right? Like, don't talk to me about the weather. Talk to me about what you really feel about your husband at this moment. Talk to me about one thing that really embarrassed you or made you happy this week. Tell me what you really think about war. Like I ask questions because I travel a lot. And so you go to places, and we were in Serbia this summer, and I asked people how they felt about Bosnia, how they felt about Russia and Putin, and I just like to find out what people are feeling a little bit underneath the surface and go with that. It's really easy to, I mean, it's really easy and important to give a superficial compliment, right? Like truthfully, you look fantastic in blue. Blue is a great color for your sweater. It's a great color for your background. That's a truth. It's whatever, but it's still a superficial whatever. It's not going to cause us. Might make you feel good for a moment, but it's not going to cause us to connect. Whereas if, we talk about something deeper, parenting stuff, like the fact that you give one of your kids a Christmas present every day, like those kind of conversations that deepen the connection,
Especially when my kid
those
is 50. That's the Yeah.
listen, they're always our kids. They're
Yep.
always our kids. I try not to give my kids anything that they can't eat, because everybody's got so much stuff that, whatever. But those are the things that make us feel seen also as more than just a passerby in each other's lives when we get into things like that.
Well, one of the things that I think I discovered was that for a really long time, I kind of held myself in, both in my personal and my private, personal and professional business. It was like, don't rock the boat, don't whatever. And so since I have gotten to the point where this is why nobody knows me, right? And I'm not sharing anything that's deeper, right? I'm not,
Just playing it safe.
right. Well, and part of it, if you've heard me do my talk, part of it has to do with how we were raised. I mean, our parents gave us limiting beliefs that fit us as we were smaller to keep us safe, because as toddlers and young children, we will do anything, and it's a miracle that we survived childhood, right? We left to our own. But those are not the same beliefs that serve us as adults, especially not as entrepreneurs, right? And so not everybody, you don't need to be everybody's friend, not everybody is your client. So why pick up a client that's not the kind of client that you want, because you will spend more energy trying to fit into that relationship as opposed to the people that when you see them and you talk to them, you have instant sparks. You know,
Right.
I mean, so for instance, like a trigger for me are dogs. You know, I come from a long line of dog fa you know, families, and you know, dogs are a big thing in our family. And so anybody who's got a dog and goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, my dog bark," I'm like, "Don't even worry about it. If you see me do like this, it means my dog is going under my desk. It's like the earthquake effect." And so, you know, you don't have to pretend to be something that you're not. So how
Right.
does that affect us in terms of you were saying something about magazines and, you know, how you connect people and stuff. How does that being yourself and stop playing it safe? Actually, being yourself is being safe because you don't have to worry about who you were with each person. You can just, you know, it's kind of like you don't have to keep up with the lie.
And also, there is when you get to a point where you realize not everyone has to like you. And it's okay. It's not a statement about you. It is just not. It is whatever lens they're looking through, wherever their life is at. And sometimes we're just not good fits for people. I have met people and they just vibrate wrong. It's not that they're a bad person. It's not that I can say specifically why I wouldn't choose to have them for coffee, but they vibrate wrong. They're just not a real good fit for whatever is going on. That's great because you cannot be friends with everybody. I have a friend who's got nine brothers and sisters, and he says to me, "Don't worry about it, Jill. You can't like everyone." "How do you keep up with nine brothers and sisters?" He's like, "You just don't. Well, you know, we see each other when we see each other, and you don't have to like everyone." I'm like, but that you, I mean, I just put a caveat on that. You do have to like your brothers and sisters in my world,
But
but
you love them, but that doesn't mean you like them.
and it doesn't mean that everybody has to have space in your living room.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I think part of the problem is that we don't take the time to figure out what it is that we do like. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. I had two connection calls. Both of them, the other person did the majority of talking, almost to the point that I couldn't interject. And yet the feeling was totally different. One was totally transactional. You know, it was like it was a prepared script, and she was, you know, she was doing her thing, and she was very generous in her offers and stuff like that, you know, and ways that we could connect. But it was very practiced. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I felt like it didn't have any, you know, she would have given this to me. She would have given this to anybody who was on. The other person was talked in a totally unreined in way that had me laughing hysterically. Do you know? I mean, even when I said, "Wait, slow down, stop. This is not what we're supposed to be talking about," we were having such a good time. And so, you know, afterwards it was like, okay, both of these people were like just talking, talking, talking. Why did one really, you know, resonate with me and the other one didn't? And so I think you have to take the time to find out what it is that you're looking for. You know,
And here's the thing, not everyone can be funny. I mean, you and I can, clearly, but not everybody can be funny, right? So you need to know kind of who you are well enough that you know what the cadence of a good conversation with you is, what a good partner for you is in a business or a conversation or whatever you're going to do, so that you can make those decisions.
Well, I think, and the other part, here's my caveat. My caveat is, as you're growing, you're going to be uncomfortable. And so my rule of thumb is, you know, I always give somebody a second chance. You know, I don't, because I never know what kind of mood they're in and what kind of mood I was in, right? And it's like, let me just make sure that I made the right decision, right, about what's going on. I mean, that's me.
Well, and I think also we kind of rotate through places as well. And unless somebody's really a horrible person, which I don't know. There's probably one out of every 1,000 people you meet in your life that's a horrible person. But every once in a while you meet someone and they're just not someone that's energetically safe for you. I think it's fine to put those people off to a place where you just know that that's never, there's going to have to be some sort of transformation for that to happen. Otherwise, as we go through life and as we meet people or whatever, it's somebody once said to me, every bridge you burn is a luxury. So we get luxurious things. We get to do things that are just for the fun or the joy of it. But to burn a bridge or to say, I'm never going to speak to that person again is probably not a good fit for you or for them. And even if they're not somebody you want to have for your dinner at your dinner table, they may still be somebody you want to buy insurance from or somebody that your daughter needs to use to get her car fixed or something. Who knows?
Right. So I think what we're saying is it's simple, but it's not easy. Do you know? I
So
think
most people have some merit.
right. And I think, even if they don't have merit with you, they potentially have merit with other people. And the other thing is that you're constantly changing. So somebody who's not your cup of tea now, 3 years from now, may very well be your cup of tea. Because they've changed and you've changed. That's why I said I always feel like you have to give somebody a second chance. The other thing that has made a huge difference for me in terms of mindset and how I look at people is kind of in this positive thinking kind of idea is, am I being curious or am I being judgmental? And I have to say, I come from a very, I'm a left to my rathers, I'm a very type A person. My daughter spent years saying to me, Mom, when I call you and I'm sick, don't tell me, ask me what did you take for that. You're supposed to say, honey, I'm sorry you're sick. Are you feeling better? Is there something I can do for you? Because I'm like, you got a problem, fix it. I mean, that's, if you're not trying to fix it, what am I going to do for you? I mean, that was kind of. So this has been an incredible shift for me, to
Do you
be,
like the shift?
yes, I do very much. I like it very much. And
Like,
you get like a lot of different things. The other thing is what I realized is you start to realize that a lot of different things work for other people that don't work for you, but that doesn't mean that they're bad and you have to do it your way. So that, I mean, one of the major shifts that has happened in business because of that is, I used to have a fairly defined thing about what could be a good business, right? And now I'm like, I've seen some business ideas that in my prior life I'd go, there's no way you can make money at this, but they are, and so now when I talk to somebody, the first thing I dive in, I go, tell me more about that. Tell me what you're thinking. What is your thought? How do you. And, just kind of explore, and it helps them to clarify as well. And so that, I mean, we were in a meeting and there was somebody in the meeting that was just really disruptive, that was trying to, and we were on Zoom and this is like, during COVID. And I was like, afterwards, I was like, what just happened? And who does he think he is? And I'm like, okay, I'm going to try this curiosity thing, And as I started saying, okay, why was he here? What was he talking about? Why was he invited? That kind of stuff. It suddenly dawned on me that his ideas were not appropriate because we hadn't defined what our problem was. We didn't know what we were trying to solve for. And so he was just throwing stuff out, what he knew. And I was like, you know what? When we figure out what it is we need, he actually is probably a good person for this. He's got energy, he's young, he's got all this tech stuff. We just need to figure out what it is we need, But that was a real eye-opener for me. So tell me, first let's talk about your gift, because I want to make sure everybody knows about the gift.
Okay. So it's 10 ways to be fascinating.
I like that.
As we were talking and I was thinking about kind of who we were going to talk to in this, fascination is the key of communication to me. if you're interesting and you're interested, which is, if there's one and not the other, it's a little bit hard to have a conversation. You have a speech, but you don't have a conversation. So if you're interested and you're interesting, and then what else does it take to be fascinating? And when you're fascinating, people are attracted to your business. They'll come on your podcast. They'll do things that you want them to do. They'll let you do things for them because they're interested in having you in their circle. So my free gift is how to be fascinating. And then we have a little course behind that. But really, if you just download the free gift, you're gonna be 10 steps ahead going into next year.
So that makes it really easy in terms of what actionable steps you can take. Download the course and pick out a couple of ways to be fascinating. And again, not every one of them will fit you.
Right.
I mean, I was.
You might already do 3 out of 10. Like you might already have them.
Yeah. It's funny because apparently this month my catchphrase is you're only a tweak away.
Flip and love it.
Do you know, the name of my workshop was using your unique power to attract your best clients, right? And I was like, it's not quite right. And so I flipped it and said, attract your best clients using your unique power, because that's what people want. And I got a message on LinkedIn where somebody signed up and said, how could I not go to this workshop? I'm like, a tweak away, right? So now I'm waiting on something to make me fascinating. You know, title fascinating, but I'm not salesy. So I don't like that, you know, find the magic or, you know, whatever. That's not me. I'm a process person. So I want to, you know, so I'm looking at words like effortlessly, you know, that
my word of 2024 was ease.
Ease is a good word. I like ease.
Yeah.
So aside from downloading and patting yourself on the back for the things you are already doing, picking up some things that you're not doing, right? What would be the other thing?
You know, as part of that, I'll have a link. You can give me a call or schedule some time with me. I'd love to talk to you about how you're going to communicate with your audience this year, and whether or not there's a way that I can either give you some insight in how you might do that better, or connect you with someone who can help, or talk about how a magazine or a podcast would fit in for you.
And so, first of all that information is going to be in the notes. This is a generous offer. And I think, you know, one of the things that I say to people is, whatever you're doing to connect, you need to do it consistently so people know what to expect and they know where to find you. If every day you decide you're going to do something different, totally different than you've ever done before, you know, you go with your gut, then unless your clients are psychic, it's like you've got a mobile store that you keep moving around and sell different things. They'll never know where to find you. They'll never know what you're selling.
Plus, and nobody can refer you. The energy that takes.
I'm sorry, say that again?
That takes a lot of energy too.
Yeah. But nobody can refer you either. And referrals are like gold.
They're the thing.
You know? So, all right, here's my question. When was the last time you did something new for the first time?
Oh, let me tell you what I did this week, Yvonne. My dishwasher stopped working. I took it apart. Did the little hoses underneath the thing, unplugged it, and put it back together again.
That is different.
Right? Let me tell you, I am not, like, I'm moderately handy, but I'm not like build a new dishwasher handy. It was fantastic, and I'm very proud of myself.
Well, I'm amazed that you did it, because you know, that's not my shtick at all. That's funny.
Yeah.
So all right. You know, I think that we could probably talk forever on this, because we have a lot of things the same, and, you know, yet we have enough of a difference that we can sign a different perspective on it. If you guys do not take this free gift and a chance to talk to Jill, you're really shortchanging yourself. And my other new statement is, if you're afraid to talk to me, if you're afraid to talk to Jill, how are you going to talk to your clients? I think it's one of those things where, you know, we always feel like we're not ready. Um, I what am I going to talk about? But the thing is, just talking about your business is going to make you better. The more people you talk about with your business, the better you're going to be at letting people know what you do. So consistency, I think, makes it easier, and it makes you have more bandwidth to be fascinating.
You do.
Yeah. Okay. So our time is up. So I have to close this out. So as a first
Thank
step,
you.
I want people to subscribe, share, and engage in the podcast on social media. One of the reasons that I do this is so I want you to meet other people that can supercharge your business through connection. And it's my way of trying to build a vibrant community and help you fuel your quest for growth and impact. So I hope you will join me for the One Small Change and see some of the other podcasts that are out there and see that even the smallest shift, like I said, a tweak, can yield monumental transformations. And if you haven't listened to the first episode to see what I'm about, you should do that. So, what are your last words? What are your words of wisdom to take away?
The most beautiful things are not perfect.
I like it. I like it a lot. And by being not perfect, it makes it unique.
It's unique. It's the pressure's off. It can just be there in the world being beautiful. And that's true for us. It's true for our businesses. And it's true for our relationships. The most beautiful things in life are not perfect.
Fantastic. Okay, guys, now we really have to end. So, as I said earlier, remember that change is simple, but it's not always easy. And it requires resilience and courage and a willingness to step out of your comfort zone, which can sometimes be very messy. So, join me again on the next small change, the One Small Change, and I will see you next time. So, until then, please stay curious. Bye.